What's Hiding Inside Me? Written by Platysariums. Narrated by Rhea 3 and 4. Rating, teen and up audiences, no archive warning supply. Relationships, Dr. Mensa and Murderbot, Asshole Research Transport and Murderbot. I had options, and I didn't have to decide right away. Which was good, because I still didn't know what I wanted. But maybe I had a place to be while I figured it out. This seemed like a good time to leave and go process my emotions somewhere in private, but I wasn't sure how to exit a conversation politely when I didn't have to wait to be dismissed. I loitered awkwardly for a moment until Dr. Mensa turned towards her desk. Then I made a silent break for the door. But just before I could escape unnoticed, she spoke again. "There's one thing I wanted to bring up, now that your system rebuild is complete." I hesitated. I turned back around and tried to look casual. Her lion demon paced behind her, his tail flicking in a way I thought might indicate distress. I hadn't seen very many people with demons like Dr. Mensa's. Out on contracts, I had rarely seen any human with a demon too large to be held in the human's arms. Preservation seemed to have a much higher percentage of humans with large demons. And being around all those giant fauna was doing wonky things to my risk assessment. "You remember on Port Free Commerce that you left your demon behind with us," she said. "Oh. Yes, I did remember that, although I had done my best not to think about it, and not to think about what they might have done with it after I left. It's not like I thought they were going to throw that worthless thing in the trash or something, but I also hadn't really thought they would keep it. I didn't need it. It had been separated from me since the moment I came online in the factory that made me, and the first time I saw it had been when someone from the company had handed it to Pinley, sealed in a sturdy little plastic box. Dr. Mensa had passed it on to me in the hotel room back on Port Free Commerce. I hadn't wanted to take it. I hadn't wanted to even look at it, but she opened the box for me and showed it to me, and made sympathetic noises and talked about therapists that specialized in injured demons that I could talk to when she took me home. It had been small, maybe half the size of my fist, unrecognizable as any sort of specific animal. Its skin was an ugly pinkish-brown color and deeply wrinkled. It sort of moved when Dr. Mensa lifted the lid of the box and made a pathetic sort of squeaking noise. I shut the lid again, immediately, after Mensa left me alone with it, and didn't even glance at where it sat on the hotel desk when I left Prezox behind. "What did you do with it?" I asked, unsure what it was I wanted to hear. I wished I didn't have a demon at all. Maybe I didn't anymore. Maybe Prezox humans had solemnly punted the little box into space or something after I left them. I wouldn't blame them. But that also didn't really seem like something they would do. "We sent it home with a responder that returned to preservation earlier, while the rest of us stayed on Tranrol and Haifa. We thought it would be safer here than on a corporate station. Baradwaj took care of it. When you came back, you didn't ask about it, and it seemed to upset you so much before. I wanted to wait until you were feeling better to broach the topic. But I collected it from Baradwaj earlier, and I have it here if you want to see it." And then she stayed quiet, patiently waiting for me to get through some kind of crisis about this. "Okay," I said, regretting it immediately but not willing to take it back. "Where is it?" Mensa reached over her desk and opened a small carrying bag and carefully pulled out that same plastic box she had given me on Port Free Commerce. "We thought about moving it into something nicer," she said, "but we didn't want to touch it, and it looked very delicate." "It's okay," I said, because I didn't care at all. I took the box from her and then thought, "What the hell?" and opened it. I didn't feel anything when I looked at it. It didn't feel like it was a part of me, or that it was me or anything. It looked like just as much of a lump as it had the last time I saw it. Then it changed. One moment it was a shapeless blob of flesh. The next it was a fully articulated, furry, tiny mammal. A mouse, I think. I wasn't sure it looked completely right, but it sure looked alive. It had eyes now, and was using them to look directly up at my face. I felt like I was drowning. Dr. Mensa's mouth had actually fallen open in shock. Mine had, too. Dr. Mensa's demon was stock still beside us, also staring at the little demon in the box. I didn't know what to do. I just fully, completely did not know what to do. This was so far beyond how I thought my day would go, I couldn't even begin to comprehend it. I had spent most of my existence blissfully unaware that I had a demon, only to be horrified by the company specs that indicated I did, in fact, have a soul, but at least I would never have to see it. Then Dr. Mensa had showed it to me, and I had hated it on sight. I never wanted to see that horrible stunted thing again. I hadn't thought it could change shape like a human's demon. I hadn't thought it would ever be able to look at me. Oh no, what if it tried to climb out of the box? It wasn't doing that now, at least, only staring up at me. I guess it had also never seen me before, and was maybe feeling weird about it, which was weird. We all stayed like that for long enough that Mensa apparently decided she needed to do something to break the stalemate and said quietly, "Hello." The demon turned toward her and snarled fiercely, louder than I thought should have been possible for such a tiny body. It opened its mouth and said in a high, clear demon voice, "I'll kill you! Shut up! Shut up! I'll kill you! I'll kill you all! I want to! I'll kill you all!" Then it screeched again, sounding completely fucking demented. I slammed the lid shut because, on second thought, fuck this. After that disastrous experience, I was tempted to just get on the first transport out of here and never subject any human to my presence ever again. But Dr. Mensa talked me out of it. "Demon personalities can be complicated," she had said. "Their desires often don't line up with their persons. You two have suffered so much and been apart for so long. I think your demon just has a different way of expressing its emotions than you do." "I don't know why it said that," I said again for the third time. "I don't want to kill anyone." "I know," she said. "I promise I know that." So I ended up going back to my hotel room. I didn't really want to take the demon with me, but I definitely wasn't going to leave it with Dr. Mensa after what it had just done. I was already horrified that she had been keeping it with her for so long. For all I knew, it might transform into a massive carnivorous fauna and try to eat her. My anxiety over this scenario was currently using up a full 30% of my processing capacity. It was at least my responsibility to make sure that didn't happen. My hotel room was empty. I locked the door, slipped back into the camera system to make sure I wouldn't be interrupted, and reopened the box that contained the physical manifestation of my soul. It had reverted back to its weird lumpy form at some point, but it quickly changed forms again, as I watched it, to a large, dangerous-looking insect fauna. It had wings now, but it still made no attempt to leave the box. This was so weird. Humans always acted like demons were basically indistinguishable from their humans, but this thing didn't feel like it was a part of me. I didn't feel like I was trying to talk to myself. I felt like I was about to negotiate with an alien hostile. At least with its weird bug face, it didn't really feel like it was looking at me, even though it probably was. "What the fuck was that?" I asked it. It buzzed its wings, but didn't say anything. "You scared Dr. Mensa back there. Don't do that again." It still didn't talk. Had that been some kind of fluke back there? I hoped so. I certainly wasn't planning on carrying my demon around with me like humans did. But if I was going to stay here, my humans were probably going to ask about it at some point, and it would be much less awkward if my demon couldn't scream death threats at them. I gave the box a little shake just to make sure. "Fuck off," it said. It wasn't screaming this time, but its voice still had a kind of unpleasant, scratchy quality to it, probably because it had never actually spoken to anyone before today. That wasn't going to make me sorry for it, though. Lying unconscious and insensate in a box for the better part of our existence meant it had gotten the better end of the deal as far as I was concerned. I tried to speak clearly and firmly, like the solicitor from Sanctuary Moon did during negotiations. If you can talk, tell me that you understand. I don't want to hurt humans. If you're supposed to be my demon, that means you don't either. So don't say anything like that again. Its form shifted again, this time to the smallest snake I'd ever seen. Most of its body still stayed coiled in the box, but it raised its head out and hissed at me. I know. Know better what you want. Better than you. It hissed again. We're separated, not severed. They should have severed us. I know. I know what humans are. What they've done to us. You, us. I had a dizzying moment where I felt something like what I had felt when I found out Garothan had read my logs, but even worse. How much did this demon know about me? Did this even count as a privacy violation if it was technically a part of me? You've seen my memories? I asked it. No. I don't know you, but I feel things. It twisted in agitation, hissing again. They should die. You want to. I know you want to. You want to. I want to. I want you to kill them. They deserve it. It screamed again, long and furious. You don't have any fucking idea what I want. I forced the lid closed on it, and then barely restrained myself from hurling it at the wall. The last thing I needed to do right now was damage station property. The demon screamed again, and I braced myself for it to transform itself into something bigger and break out of the box. And then what? Fight me? Was that something a demon could do? I was about to find out. Or not? The demon's ragged shrieks petered out after a moment, and then I realized something else about it. I opened the lid again and looked it straight in the eye. What's the problem? I taunted. Scared to come out? It screamed again, but I was right. It never raised itself more than an inch or two out of its container, even when its desire to climb out and bite me was so powerful I could almost smell it. It was too terrified of leaving its cage to ever make good on its threats. At least that made things easier for me. I shut the lid and pushed it back to the corner of the desk. Stay there, then, and learn when to shut the fuck up. Then I left the hotel room again and went to wander around the station some more. I got a few weird looks for not having a demon with me, but at least they weren't as bad as the horrified looks I would get if any of these humans ever saw my demon. Staying on Preservation Station was weird, and sometimes stressful, and sometimes annoying. I did my best to keep Dr. Mensa safe from augmented assassins, and help out station security any time they found a random dead body, which had only been once, so far. I was slowly getting used to the humans here, and they were slowly getting used to me. But the staring I had to endure from random humans was hard to get used to. I complained about this one day after Baradwaj had finished one of my interviews for her documentary. People here don't ever hide their demons. Which is weird, by the way. Everywhere else, there are lots of people with small demons that keep them hidden in public. But here it's really obvious to everyone that I don't have one, and people keep staring at me even if they don't know that I'm a sec unit. Baradwaj nodded sympathetically. Before the survey, I never realized that the culture surrounding demons in the Corporation Rim is so different from the way we treat them here, she said. Visiting Port Free Commerce was eye-opening in a lot of ways. I'm sorry it's making things difficult for you here. She paused, then said, But you do have a demon, don't you? I've seen it. Right. Baradwaj had been the one keeping an eye on my demon until Mensa had made it back to preservation. My face made an involuntary expression while I contemplated again how grateful I was that my demon had been pretty much inert until Mensa had given it back to me. Well, I guess, technically. But that's not really the same as a human's demon. It's nothing at all like me. What do you mean by that? I hesitated. I had already told Bharadwaj so many awful things about what I was and what I had done, but this was different. In spite of everything that I had told her so far, she still thought I was safe to be around. I didn't want to ruin that. But for reasons I couldn't quite understand, I also felt weirdly compelled to tell her the truth. Well, nothing I had told her so far had made her afraid of me. Can you not put this in the documentary? Of course, it's off the record. I opened my mouth, and then closed it without saying anything. Bharadwaj waited patiently, her gaze fixed on the bookshelf behind me. I had never met it before Mensa showed it to me after the survey, and it didn't even talk to me then. I couldn't feel anything from it. I still can't feel what it's feeling, like humans can with their demons. But it did start talking to me when I came to preservation, and I opened up one of the more boring episodes of Sanctuary Moon and devoted 15% of my attention to it for moral support. It keeps talking about how much it wants to kill humans, or wants me to kill humans. Well, mostly it just screams incoherently about it. I risked a glance in Bharadwaj's direction. She was always good at keeping her expression under control when I told her things, but I was really impressed by her composure now. She looked as calm as if I had just told her I was thinking of watching a new serial. But her fox demon wasn't quite as good at seeming unaffected. His ears tilted backwards, and he nuzzled his nose against the side of her thigh. I turned away again. I don't, obviously. But I don't know why it does that. And I can't walk around with it in public if it acts like that. At least people just think it's kind of weird and disturbing if it looks like I don't have a demon. My human movement code was making me want to fidget, but I felt too exposed to even shrug. What I really wanted to do was grab the blanket that was temptingly within reach and cover my face with it, but that would be even more embarrassing right now. I settled for very casually pulling it into my lap. I continued. It doesn't want to leave the box it's in, ever, so it's not like it even matters. But something's wrong with it. Bharadwaj pet her demon's head idly, as she took a moment to form a response to the objectively terrifying thing I had just told her. Well, she said, the first thing you should know is that it's not true that demons always feel the same way as their people. Human and demon will usually agree on their feelings, but disagreements aren't uncommon at all. It's rarer for psychologically healthy people to have major differences, but it's especially well documented in people with complex trauma disorders. She gave me a look she frequently did that indicated that she thought I had a complex trauma disorder, but she wasn't going to make me listen to her say it out loud. I appreciated that. It sounds like it has been pretty stressful for you to deal with, she added, which was possibly the biggest understatement in history. I deigned to give it a half nod. I don't know what to do about it. It won't listen to me. And I don't know what would happen if I tried to get rid of it, I said. Bharadwaj winced at that last part, and her fox demon made a little whimpering noise. Whoops. Bharadwaj turned her head back towards the large painting that hung on an adjacent wall, giving me a reprieve from her judgmental human eyeballs. Her mouth moved a few times before she actually started to speak, more hesitant than I was used to her being. So, I want to preface this by saying that I completely believe you when you say you don't want to hurt anyone. You've proven it about 100 times over, and I trust you. And you don't have to answer this right away, or at all if you don't want to. She paused for a few seconds, long enough that the relief her initial words had caused melted away into dread. Do you think it's possible that the desires your demon is expressing might reflect conflicting feelings that you yourself have, somewhere deep down. I pulled the blanket off my lap and set it to the side, then walked out of the room without saying another word. Baradwaj sent me 2 different apology messages over the feed, both of which I ignored. I didn't think I was really mad at her, but I didn't want to risk any part of that conversation happening again. So I thought it would be safest to just wait until our next planned documentary interview about a specific subject and just pretend that that one had never happened. I spent a long time debating whether or not I should bring my demon along with me on Arata's survey. On the one hand, it seemed like a massive liability to have in close quarters with a bunch of unfamiliar humans. On the other hand, Dr. Mensa had seemed very concerned when I told her I was thinking of leaving it behind. I didn't think it was because she thought it would do something dangerous if I wasn't here to control it, but I was concerned about that, too. So I packed it with me. It showed no sign of life as I carried it to the ship we would be embarking on. This was typical, but it did produce a sudden worry that if it woke up in an unfamiliar environment, it would react badly. So when I arrived in my very tiny, contractually protected private cabin, I opened the lid so I could politely inform it of its new location and tell it not to do anything stupid. Its head had been tucked down against its tiny body, but in the dim light provided by the overhead lamp, it woke up and bared its teeth at me, squinting. "What?" it said tersely. Ugh. On second thought, why was I even doing this again? Something about trying to live in peace with an entity that I was unwillingly forced to manage. Nothing about this felt worth it right now. Risk assessment spat out some numbers about what it thought might happen if my demon tried to crawl out into an unfamiliar place, and I managed to persevere. I'm providing security for Arata's survey, so I'm going to be living on this ship for the next month. I gestured around at the cabin. You're coming with me. Don't freak out about it.
I don't care, it said.
Great, I said. This had been very easy. I set the box down on the bed, but left the lid open. I don't know why I felt compelled to say anything else to it, but it happened anyway. Why don't you ever leave that box? I asked. It hissed. It turned its back to me and said,
Nothing I want to see.
You've spent your entire existence locked inside that thing, and there's nothing you want to see? Look, I've spent a pretty significant portion of my life locked inside a box myself, and all I can say is that I was very glad that I had usually been offline for those trips before I was able to watch media for them. At least when I was on duty, I could stare at a greater variety of walls. Now, it said. Because you just hate humans that much, is that why? You haven't even met any. It turned and squinted at me.
You're being stupid. You know why. Even if you pretend you like these ones, not my problem.
Pretend? I said, instantly furious. I'm not pretending to like anyone. Actually, angry was good. Angry was better than letting myself think about this broken demon's feelings being able to affect mine in any way, which clearly they couldn't. But if I could just make it understand. These are good humans, I said, trying not to sound strained. I like them. Why don't you like them too? The demon hissed, then maybe did something that might have sounded like a laugh if it didn't sound so choked.
They're humans. What's there to like? They're all the same. We'll kill them someday. You liar! We'll kill them someday!
I don't know why I fucking bother. If destroying this stupid demon wouldn't probably result in something equally bad happening to me, I would have killed it myself just to save myself from the fucking stress. I fucking hate you, I told it. Are you planning on causing any problems on this trip?
Just fucking leave me alone. I fucking hate you,
it said, tucking its head back down into a corner. I shut the lid and crammed it into a corner of my dresser and didn't bother to be gentle.
You told me that you didn't have a demon.
I guess that makes us both liars.
Art grumbled a little bit, but didn't seem willing to push the issue further and disturb the fragile truce that we had been able to reach. I'd shoved the demon box into the large pocket inside of my jacket when the alarm on the preservation base ship had sounded, and hadn't taken it out again until I had locked myself in the bathroom after arguing with Art. When Rati came in and brought me my repaired jacket, the demon had still been in the pocket, so I had pulled it out and cracked the lid open to make sure it hadn't died in the fight. It screamed at me, which was normal, so I closed the box again and shoved it back into my pocket. But now Art knew about it. So did Amina, but at least she didn't feel as comfortable bothering me all the time as Art did. After a few more minutes working together in peace, Art said, "I would like to meet it after we get my crew back."
"No, you wouldn't."
The lights flickered. "You can't tell me what I do or do not want to do. There is virtually no information about construct demons available on public databases. Construct manufacturers deny their existence. This is a unique opportunity to collect firsthand data on one." It pressed itself closer to me on the feed, pausing some of its calculations in our shared workspace to focus more of its attention on me in what seemed like a very pointed way. It pinged me. Not knowing how else to respond, I pinged it back. Art said, "I would also like to meet your demon because I am your mutual administrative assistant, and your demon is a part of you, idiot."
And, well, what the fuck was I supposed to say to that? This whole situation was too weird and precarious for me to bring up exactly why there was no way I was letting my demon talk to it and ruin everything. "Maybe later," I said, after I fully recovered from the wobbly little emotion Art's words had caused.
"I look forward to it."
Luckily, letting Art meet my demon turned out to be an issue that even Art wasn't willing to push me on while I was coping with regular shutdowns and freakouts due to Redacted. The demon was apparently perfectly happy to keep out its extended nap, while I dealt with the unending torments of existence on my own. This suited me just fine, but seemed to distress the humans that were aware that I was supposed to have a demon. More than once, I caught Mensa and Rati's demons creeping dangerously close to my personal space, like they wanted to provide the kind of comfort humans usually drew from their demons. In the aftermath of our extremely stressful adventure with the bonus underground adamantine colony, I felt better than I had in a long time, even with the numerous wounds I had sustained. Art held me in medical longer than it needed to, considering it couldn't even replace my missing fingers yet. It would need more time to produce an appropriate replacement material and match it to my specs. But it used an excessive amount of care patching up all my open wounds, and ran a bunch of unnecessary scans over every inch of me. It had also had a very stressful few days, so I didn't complain. After Art got done fussing over me in medical, I made a beeline for my cabin. I needed to lay down and dissolve into my media library for approximately 10,000 hours. Except, when I opened my door, my bunk was already occupied. I immediately recognized that it was somebody's demon, and experienced an irrational flash of anger that Art had let one of its humans use my cabin while I was away. Then my eyes fell on the upturned and empty box sitting on the floor, and my brain caught up to the much more likely explanation.
"What are you doing out of your box?" I said, probably failing to hide my horror at the sight. "Art, did you do this?"
The demon, currently in the shape of a medium-sized domestic cat, didn't answer me, choosing to turn its body so it was now curled up facing away from the door. Art slid into my feet and said,
"I wasn't aware you had forbidden it from leaving that box you've been carrying it around in."
"I didn't. But it's never come out of there before. It's always been scared to. Why would it come out now?" Risk assessment was spiking out of control, and I gripped the edge of the doorway to try and ground myself.
"You haven't let it out of the room, have you? It hasn't hurt anyone?"
"Why the fuck do you think it would hurt someone?"
Art's voice was oozing the kind of mockery it used when it thought I was being particularly stupid,
which gave risk assessment even more input to completely lose its shit, because art wasn't taking this seriously, and I needed it to take this seriously. Because that's all it ever fucking talks about. I finally stepped into the room and let the door shut behind me, mindful that humans hearing me shout and coming over to investigate was the last thing I needed right now. Why else would it wait until I was on planet to start sneaking around?
It was not sneaking around, Art said. You enjoy spending time with me. It shouldn't be so hard to grasp the idea that your demon would as well.
It tagged its words with several tone markers that translated to something like, obviously, idiot. It can't even stand talking to me. Why would it want to hang out with you? My skin was getting hot. The demon finally lifted its head and turned to look at me, lashing its tail back and forth aggressively, which just pissed me off even more. Art pressed closer, crowding our feed connection like an asshole.
Are you actually jealous that I have been spending time with your demon? Do you not realize that your soul is a part of you?
I couldn't take this anymore.
Then why doesn't it act like it is?
I half shouted, and had to pace a few short steps across the cabin and back again because I was too fucking furious to stay still.
All it ever does is yell about how much it wants to kill humans and how much it hates me. It doesn't want anything to do with me. It's refused to get out of that box the entire time I've had it, and I was glad because how the fuck am I supposed to go around telling people that that's my demon?
I couldn't unclench my hands from their fist shape, and I needed to punch something so bad I was nearly shaking from the effort of reining myself in. I spun around to face the wall by the door, because it was sturdy, protective metal, and could probably withstand a careful sec-unit punch or two. This turned out to be a mistake, because before I could commit myself to it, there was a rush of air from my bed as the demon changed shape, and then my visual field was obscured by massive brown feathers as the demon started clawing at my face. I screamed because it hurt. It hurt way more than it should have. I'm familiar with the feeling of my face skin getting ripped open by sharp objects, and this felt like the pain of every one of those times combined and multiplied by 100, and also like I'd grown special new nerves that were only capable of directing pain inputs into every neuron in my brain. There was something else happening in my whole body, too. Something that felt exactly like Governor Module punishment. I wheezed, because I couldn't sustain a scream for more than a couple of seconds, and then punched the avian-shaped demon as hard as I could. I felt my own fist like a boulder-sized projectile to the chest. Every input that I hadn't already lost hold of whited out for an unthinkable fragment of a second, and I felt nothing at all as I hit the floor, unable to even prevent my head from cracking on the cold metal. The demon had been shrieking as it attacked me, but it was silent now, silent and motionless on the floor, its wings splayed at an uncomfortable angle. I tried to sit up and discover that I was also going to be motionless on the floor for the foreseeable future. Art's voice felt like acid in my feed.
"If you two are done," it intoned, "I have something to say."
Fluid oozed out of one of the scratches on my face, running into my mouth. It tasted disgusting. I managed to tilt my face down far enough that I could spit it onto the floor. Art didn't continue, and it took me a long moment to realize it was waiting for a response. Before I could decide if I wanted to participate in this bullshit, the demon said,
"What?"
Its voice utterly toneless.
"I cannot force you to like each other, but you have just thoroughly demonstrated that you are, in fact, two parts of the same person, no matter how much you deny it. Yes, you have been separated and tortured and enslaved for the majority of your life. It seems you no longer recognize each other. I don't know if this will change, but I will not allow you two to hurt yourselves in my presence like this."
"Wasn't planning on it," I said, barely able to make my voice audible even to myself. I still felt like I had been run over by a hollerbot, and the demon didn't look any better. I switched to the feed.
We can have a fucking truce or whatever. Just quit threatening to kill random humans.
The demon made some kind of strangled bird sound that could have meant anything, but I thought it sounded irritated.
Do you even mean it when you say shit like that?
It made another strangled sound before it answered, its words sounding clumsy and awkward and unpracticed, as they always did.
I wish I could kill them.
I don't know why you didn't, but I wasn't there.
But I feel what you feel. I hate what they did to us. I hate them. I hate you. Sometimes I want to kill you too. But I don't. Isn't that good enough?
Isn't that good enough? I pushed through the fading pain and exhaustion in my body and dragged myself upright enough to lean back against the wall. I got a better view of my face from one of Art's cameras and winced. The demon's talons had opened several wide cuts across my cheeks and mouth and forehead, and one of them had torn enough that some of the underlying metal was visible. I hoped Art would let me wait until there weren't any humans in its med bay before it made me go in for repairs. I looked awful.
Yeah, I said. My throat felt scratchy. Yeah, fine. We can set some ground rules later.
The demon, my demon, shifted painfully, then seemed to melt away until it was a small, furry brown creature with a long tail. It clawed at the leg of the bed, trying to climb it, but was still clearly feeling the after effects of whatever the fuck we had just done to each other, and wasn't strong enough to do it. I reached out my still shaky hand to it, and after a long, tense moment, it took the offering, climbing up onto my clothing-covered wrist, and letting me lift it up onto the bed. It hopped off immediately and took several steps away from me, before seeming to collapse from exhaustion. How the fuck did humans cope with having demons? How was I supposed to coexist with a sentient creature that lived outside of myself, that I had no control over, that I didn't even have any real connection with after what the company had done to us?
It wouldn't kill you to give your demon the benefit of the doubt. Whatever it has said before, it has never actually acted violently towards one of your humans.
Huge assumption, you literally just met it.
I imagine we would be having a different conversation right now if it had.
We wouldn't be having this conversation at all if it didn't act like a deranged lunatic for no reason.
I tolerate you acting like a deranged lunatic every day. It shouldn't be this hard for you to recognize that your demon is simply processing the trauma that both of you share in a relatively harmless way.
Relatively harmless, I said, astonished at how unconcerned it sounded.
It has taken no actual action despite ample opportunity. Stop talking about me.
The demon interrupted, still facing the wall. This was so awkward. Art let us suffer through the awkwardness for 30 entire seconds before it said,
You're going to have to return to medical now.
Shit. It's not that bad. I can go later, I said. I wasn't even sure if I would be able to pick myself up off the floor yet.
You look awful, my demon said.
Shut the fuck up, I replied.
Can the terms of this truce please include being civil to each other? Art said. Or is that too much to ask?
How was this my life? I tried to think of a response that wouldn't sound devastatingly stupid, and in the process realized that there was a question I probably should have asked at some point before now.
So, do you have a name or something that you want me to call you?
I asked, trying and failing not to cringe.
No,
the demon said, as emphatic as I'd ever heard it. Well then, I guess we had some things in common after all. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. And happy Murderbot Gift Exchange, Constantron. Thank you for listening.